Okay, let's start with prayer. Dear Lord God, we're here this Sunday morning, Lord. And Lord, we come to worship you, and we want to hear from you, Father. Father, minister to us this morning and speak to us through your word, Father, to where we can come closer to you, get a new understanding of who you are and what we're all about, Lord. We just thank you now for this nice morning. It's a little brisk, but we still love it. It's a beautiful sunny morning. We just thank you, Father, and just speak through me now as only you can. And anything that would be for me, just let it fall to the ground. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk a little bit about faith today. Yeah, we get to running every day and doing stuff, and sometimes we get kind of off the path as to where we need to be and all that. But what I just want to touch on faith. What is faith? You know, without faith, I don't think we have anything. You know, it's easy to say we believe, but do we truly? And the example, let's just start in Genesis 1:1. You know, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, do we truly believe that God did that? I mean, it's easy for us to say it. And it's easiest for us to sit here and say, oh yeah, I believe that. But do we truly believe it? I think without faith from God, I don't think we can truly, totally comprehend it. But I want to read on. I just want to read a few examples on the things that the Bible asks us to believe, and just kind of want to look at ourselves. Do we truly believe these things? You know, in Exodus 4:2, Moses was talking to God, and the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. That's probably what I would have done, too. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out, took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. Now think about that. You're standing there and you throw this stick on the ground and it becomes a snake, which, you know, he got scared and ran, which I think would be a normal human reaction. God says, okay, I'm going to pick up the snake. You know, he picks it up and it turns back into a stick. Well, it would have been really hard for him and he was there, but now we're reading this thousands of years later. And do we truly believe that happened? I mean, the Bible says it did. But where are we on it? I mean, I know where I'm at, but kind of just look at yourself, where you are on that. And it goes on, the next verse. It says, then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. Now put it back in your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back in his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Now, these are some powerful miracles. And these aren't trick miracles like some of the stuff you watch on television. You know, you see the magicians doing stuff. You see, and this sounds really bad, but I'm going to come right out and say it. You see a whole bunch of preachers on TV claiming they're doing stuff, and all they're doing is playing tricks on you. You got to be real careful who you listen to. But do we truly believe that happened? Now, it's real easy to say that because it was thousands of years ago, so, oh yeah, I believe that. But only you in your heart truly know whether you do or not. But let's go on to the New Testament and see some of the things that it talks about. That was some Old Testament examples. Now we'll get into the New Testament. And you know, Jesus, he was out ministering and stuff. And this guy come up to him and he says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. And he was a blind man. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Another one of those. Could you imagine you've been blind your entire life? You can't see a thing. And all of a sudden, boom, you can see. Now, for the person that receives the miracle, obviously they believe it because it happened to them. But we're reading this in the Bible, and we're asked to believe that. I mean, is our faith says, yeah, this is truly what happened. Now, I'll read a couple more examples. I mean, because the Bible, I mean, if you've read the Bible at all, I mean, there's miracles, there's healings, there's all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's even a few places where people are raised from the dead. The one example that I want to use is Lazarus. He was a friend of Jesus, and he had died. They'd already buried him in a tomb. And Jesus shows up, I think it was like 3 days later. And what does he do? They went to the tomb. He says, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. He looked like one of those mummies on TV, is what I imagine at least. Jesus said, take off the grave clothes and let him go. In other words, this guy was already buried in the tomb. And he comes out of the tomb and he's alive again. Well, there's only one way we can truly believe this, and that's with faith. You know, we can sit down, we can read the Bible, and there's a lot of things in, you know, a lot of things about the Bible that we can explain. There's a lot of historical facts in the Bible that can be cross-referenced to non-Christian writers that wrote stuff about the history way back then. That proves that, you know, there's a whole bunch of, I mean, a whole lot of the stuff is provable. But there are things in the Bible that we read that we can't prove. And there's only one way to believe it, and that's through faith. Faith in God and faith in the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, I can't stand here and convince you whether the Bible is truly the Word of God. But if you study on it, and you truly look at it, and you look over the time span that it was written, and you look at the people that wrote it, and, I mean, all the prophecies in it. I mean, there's so many things in the Bible that when you truly look at it, the only conclusion you can come up with is that somebody had to oversee the writing of that, the writing of the books to make them fit together the way they do. But the end result, at the very end, it still takes faith that you believe it. And that is a choice that we have to make. I mean, there's an example in Matthew, and it's talking about Jesus, and it says, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. In other words, he was in this area, he was doing miracles, you know, he had done a lot of miracles all throughout. But in his one area, because people didn't believe, he didn't do a whole lot of miracles there. Because of their lack of faith. See, in Acts 3:16 it talks, it says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. So this guy's faith is what healed him. So, but we got to be careful when we look at this faith that we're talking about. It's real easy to be misled nowadays. You see a whole bunch of people say, you know, I believe in Jesus. You see a whole bunch of people preaching stuff, and the Bible warns in several places about this. People that, you know, claim stuff that in no way lines up with Scripture. That's why you got to read the Bible yourself, and you got to read it, and you got to talk to people. And if you truly read the Bible and study on it, I mean, you can figure out pretty easy who the real people are and who the false people are. But your faith can get God to do things at times. But your faith alone doesn't do anything. Does that make sense? You can't make things happen with your faith. But you can believe for God to do miracles in your life. That's what you can do with your faith. So let's go on from that. You know, I want to read something here in Romans 1:17. And I am going somewhere with this. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So that is the foundation of what we believe, faith. Now, it is truly awesome that there's enough things that are revealed throughout the Bible that we can prove things, you know, like cities that were mentioned in the Bible, you can prove where they were at. People that were around, like in Jesus' day, you know, it's nice to see that they show up in history books other than just the Bible that you can say, yeah, you know, this stuff is real. But the whole foundation of our belief is still faith. Now, if we truly believe that, we can also believe the promises that God gives us. You know, God promises us a lot of things. He promises to take care of us. He promises to help us when we're in trouble. He even promises to feed us. I mean, there's promise after promise that God makes us. Now, if we have enough faith to believe what we were just talking about, that'll also give us the faith to believe that the promises that He made us are true. And if we can believe that, it'll make our life a whole bunch easier. Because all of a sudden you can say, well, the God I believe, that dude can do anything. And if He can do anything, I know He can also take care of me. I mean, and that's what it all boils down to. You know, we're in a society that's real big on me, me, me. Well, when it comes to God, it's kind of nice to know that God is interested in me and takes care of me. So if we believe that God can do all these things for us, that's great. But, you know, a lot of us, we want to believe it, but it just doesn't work. We just can't. You know, yeah, I mean, I kind of believe it, you know, and I really want to, but, man, it's just not setting in there like it should. I just don't have that total conviction. And that's where I want to read a verse out of Hebrews that is really cool. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know what that tells me? It tells me that our faith, even that, comes from Jesus. We can't believe anything on our own. We can't believe this stuff on our own. We need God to put it in our heart and help us believe it. I mean, right there in that verse, it says, I'll read it again. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. If He's the author, He's the one that started it. And if He's the perfecter, I would say He's the one that's going to help us make it what it needs to be. So if you can't believe some of these things that I talked about here, don't worry about it. But you can start praying about it. You can start saying, Jesus, you know, I'm having real trouble in these areas. I need You to reveal to me the truth in this stuff. Because I want to believe it. I want to stand strong. But I just can't do it on my own. And that's the awesome part. That's what He does for us. He will do that. Then we can stand strong in our faith. And that's what gives us the courage. It gives us the peace that we need. You know, when we go through a whole lot of struggles, it's never fun when you have trouble. Be it financial trouble, be it health problems, be it, I don't care what it is. I mean, we all go through struggles. And it's not fun. But if our faith is strong enough to believe that God is in control no matter what the outcome, then we can have peace going through it. That don't mean you're going to be in a good mood and you're going to walk around smiling every day when you're having trouble. It just doesn't work. But you can sit there and go, you know, this is miserable and I don't like it. But I do know at the end of all this, I'm going to come out okay. Because God promised it, and my faith is strong enough to believe that He's in control. And that's the whole point I want to make with this message. Now, this is the last state race right now. And, you know, we have a lot of regulars that aren't here today that I wish could hear this right now. Some people only come to this for church. They don't go to another church anywhere else. And like right now, state series over. Next state race will be probably in March or April, you know, possibly May. To not go to any kind of church services for that long a time just doesn't work very good. You know, the way I explain it, it's like a car. You know, some cars, you know, they have to fill up every 200 miles. Some cars go every 400 miles. It's not the same for every car. Well, we're the same way. You know, when we go to church, we get filled with the Holy Spirit. We listen. God ministers to us. He talks to us. We get filled. Our faith becomes stronger because we hear from God and he talks. But then as the week goes on, it kind of, it's like a sieve. You know, it kind of just kind of starts running out. And, well, some of us hit empty sooner than others. Me personally, I run out about every 2-3 days. I got to refill all. I got on those low mileage vehicles. So I got to refill a lot. Other people, they can go 3 weeks, 4 weeks, you know, and they're just perfectly fine going to church every 4 weeks. But I do know if we never go, there's no way that our faith will stay strong. Because what happens, the enemy comes in, and he plants all these weird thoughts into our head. And then we start listening to people at work and all over the place, and they kind of make us stray away from what we're trying to believe. And we get weak. So how do we keep our faith strong throughout the year or throughout the winter or whatever we want to call it? We have to stay plugged in with God. We have to do that. That's the only way that works. And the other thing that helps us keep our faith strong is being plugged in with each other. Do you know on Sunday morning, you know, some people say you have to be in church every Sunday morning. Well, we're right here right now. We're not in church, but we're having services. God wants us to commit time to him, be it right now, be it on Wednesday evening, be it on Saturday. He doesn't care what day of the week it is. Nobody, he doesn't have a problem with that. That's man-made stuff saying you have to worship on a certain time or certain day. They did that in the Old Testament. God had the Sabbath. That was a Saturday. That's when he asked everybody to worship. Now we have the liberty to worship when we want. But we have to give God his time. He does require that. And that's what helps us stay strong. It helps us keep our faith strong. The other thing, like I said, we need to stay plugged in with one another. Because we can build each other up. You know, there's a verse in 1 Thessalonians. It says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. You can't do it on your own. I know I can't. And it's like anything, when you talk about things with other people, it encourages you. If you're talking positive about racing with other people, you're going to ride more positive. If you talk negative about it, you're going to ride more negative. Same thing with your Christian faith. If you talk positive to other Christians, you will have a lot more positive attitude. So, as we get ready to close, just try to take that with you and blow the dust off of the Bible if it's got dust on it and read a little bit every day and make sure you stay plugged in with other believers to help keep your faith strong. With that, I'd like to close. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for your word this morning. Lord, faith is a very funny thing. And it is hard to hold on to your faith sometimes. But I'm glad that you put people in our life to help make us stronger and help remind us of our faith and make us strong. I'm glad that Jesus is the perfecter of our faith to help make us strong. That gives us the necessary tools to believe in the things that you do and make us be able to deal with everyday life. We thank you so much for that, Father. So, Father, as we get ready to start racing today, Lord, I just ask that you'd be with every person here. Watch over them off and on the track. Lord, as this is the last state race for the year, Lord, I just ask you'd be with everyone that has been here throughout this series, Father. Bless them and their families, Lord, and let them have a joyous wintertime, and hopefully we'll see them next year. We just thank you for the beautiful day and everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.